Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, January 11th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky wins in Nashville, closer than the experts thought. A huge night in college basketball for upsets, in which we picked basically all of them. Grayson Allen at it again. Las Vegas somehow opens their sports books on Tuesday morning. DeMarcus Cousins making absolutely no sense whatsoever. An NFL running back who thinks very highly of himself. And we pick more upset specials for the next couple of nights in college basketball, riding a white hot streak. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Kentucky 87, Vanderbilt 81. Last night in Nashville, Tennessee, Isaiah Briscoe, your most valuable player, 23.7 rebounds, 5 assists. For my money, the best player on the court, the most efficient player on the court, was Bam Adebayo, 14.7 rebounds. And most importantly for him, 8 of 10 free throws. Because if you remember that Louisville game, he was terrible from the free throw line and basically cost Kentucky that game. Now, if you have questions about Kentucky, the three-point shooting yet again, 1 of 9 last night, and we had just gotten finished bragging about them being better three-point shooters of late. A lot of people in Big Blue Nation today will be disappointed. They'll be negative about this game. I have always said, anytime you win a conference road game, whether it's by 31 points or 1 point, that's a win, and you should be happy with it. After the game last night, Calipari seemed happy, and he actually said he wasn't relieved that he was happy. But watching that game last night, you just never really thought Vanderbilt had a chance to win the game. With 16 minutes and 53 seconds left, Vandy led 53-51, and I still never thought that Kentucky was going to lose that game, especially when Vanderbilt's best player, Fisher Davis, had 19 points, but on 4 of 15 shooting. And one thing you could always tell in these road games for Kentucky, it shines a light on how Calipari really feels about his players. And last night, only 7 guys got more than 10 minutes. So Dominique Hawkins, Isaac Humphries, they got less than 10 minutes. They were not a factor in that game. Road games, important games, you'll always notice Calipari shortens that bench up. And it's a telltale sign of who he trusts and who he doesn't trust. But other than the referees trying to take over the game early with foul calls, a very nondescript game for Kentucky. Vanderbilt covered that big double-digit spread, but Kentucky still won the game. Exactly as predicted here on the Bottom Line yesterday. Next up for Kentucky, Auburn. And that'll be in Lexington, Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock tip. Right now, you've got to figure the line in that game is going to be in the 20s. At which rate, this is either you take Auburn to the points or nobody. But especially after Auburn finally won their first conference game last night, at lowly, and we do mean lowly, Missouri, and they only squeaked by in that game by 5 points, it'll be tough to find anybody around here willing to put their hard-earned money on Auburn covering a spread that's assuredly going to be in the 20s.
Words of wisdom. Drop that zero and get with the hero.
Other college basketball last night. We are still gloating here about our amazing upset special picks, in which we had all 3 ranked teams that went down last night, including number 1 Baylor getting roasted at West Virginia by 21 points. And of course, the West Virginia fans, as only they can, showed themselves as who they are, chanting no means no to the Baylor basketball team, of course in reference to all the sexual misconduct involving the football team. By the way, nobody ever brings up Dave Bliss and him covering up a murder and remember that? Like 13, 14 years ago? Yeah, that's kind of gotten swept under the rug, hasn't it? Go Google that one, kids. And of course, after the game, they rush the court. They sing that old John Denver Country Road song. Makes me feel miserable. Makes me feel like I'm spending the weekend with my grandmother when I was a kid and I couldn't get out. Yeah, that's not a feel-good story at all. But West Virginia, arguably a Final Four contender right now. And if you look at any sabermetrics out there, they're at the top of the list. So look out for West Virginia. Their next game at Texas, that might be a prime spot for a letdown. We'll have more on that later this week.
Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
Number 7, Duke, also as predicted here on the Bottom Line, fell to Florida State last night, And of course, the headline of that game is not even the fact that Florida State won the game, it's that Grayson Allen is at it again. This time, he's not tripping anyone, but he's shoving an assistant coach for Florida State. And that assistant coach this morning came out and said, "Oh, that's not a dirty play. Wow, the video seems to look like to me he just shoved him right out of the way." This Grayson Allen, man, it's like everybody has that person in their life that trouble just seems to follow around. Whether it's getting trouble with the law, whether it's getting in trouble at home with your parents. Everybody growing up and everybody in their young adulthood knew that one guy who always seemed to find trouble, even when they weren't looking for it. Grayson Allen is one of those guys. And of course, at the game last night, Florida State, trying to be the snarky bunch that they are, trying to compete with Duke, which is impossible, had a poster that they gave to everyone at the game with Grayson Allen tripping someone with the caption, "50 trips of gray." Yeah, lame. But what do you expect from Florida State basketball? You always say, act like you've never been there before? They've never been there before. It's been a long time since Sam Cassell, Bob Sura, and Charlie Ward were running up and down for Florida State. Just saying. But back to this Grayson Allen thing. 2 years ago, when Duke won a national championship, this guy came off the bench and he played a role. Now, this season, before the season started, he was a projected National Player of the Year. And not only can he not live up to that nationally, he can't even live up to that on his own team. Luke Kennard, Emile Jefferson, these are guys that are better than Grayson Allen right now on his own team. Not to mention those three freshmen who haven't played hardly at all this year, who are much better pro prospects than Grayson Allen. So if you want to chalk this up to failed expectations and frustration over that, that's one thing. But he's been doing this stuff since he was a freshman. You saw this come out in that tournament run that Duke had 2 years ago. There's something wrong with this kid. It's hard to pity him, but sometimes I do. Because he's so competitive, he simply can't help himself. And with the mounting frustrations and the mounting negative attention he's getting for his actions on the court, it's not helping him at all.
Yeah! 1,500 red-blooded Americans just decided to apply to Florida State.
The other top 25 upset that we picked last night, Texas Tech, unranked, defeated number 25, Kansas State. By the way, there's only one undefeated team left in college basketball. Want to take a shot at who that is? We'll give you 1 second. It is Gonzaga. And who are the toughest teams left on Gonzaga's schedule? BYU and St. Mary's. They'll lose a couple of games between now and the tournament, but that smells like a same old song for Gonzaga. Run through the poor West Coast Conference, win a few games in the preseason, like they did this year with Florida and Arizona on neutral courts. Sit around and hang out for that number one seed, number two seed, and then underachieve in the tournament as they've done every year since that first run all the way back in 1999. It's been 18 years since Gonzaga made that first big run in the tournament. And people are still waiting on them to make that big run in the tournament. And they had a shot to make the Final Four a couple of years ago if Kyle Wilcher hadn't blown a wide open layup against Duke in the Elite Eight. Kyle Wilcher's choking when the spotlight is on him. Wow, Kentucky fans don't know about that, do they? We'll have more college basketball and our picks, once you're on fire, later in the show.
From the corner!
College football, Clemson, your national champions. And of course, Dabo Sweeney made news yesterday because now he's doing the I Told You So tour, calling out radio host Colin Cowherd, or as Dabo Sweeney calls him, Coward. I'm sure that wasn't on purpose. Of course he called him Coward on purpose, left out the H. Cowherd called Clemson a fraud, and then Dabo came out after the game calling out Coward, calling him a fraud. But I can't say it like Dabo Sweeney says it. He says it real southern twangy. Fraud. Fraud. Like he's saying frog, except there's a D instead of a G. Fraud. I can't say it like he does it, but he does it so wonderfully southern. Now, you can cut on Colin Cowherd all you want, and a lot of people do. But I will say this. Mid-season, when Clemson was struggling with teams like Troy, who they only defeated by 6 points, when they lost to Pittsburgh on their home field, when North Carolina State had Clemson beaten at Clemson, and all they had to do was hit a chip shot field goal at the end, and he missed it. And if that field goal goes through, Clemson doesn't even make the playoff. Yes, they wanted Auburn. They wanted Florida State, and they defeated Louisville in Clemson. That got him to the playoff. That North Carolina State game was one kick away from keeping them out. And of course, the SEC nation literally in turmoil today as their beloved Alabama Crimson Tide goes down to defeat. And where do I go to put my finger on the pulse of Alabama football? The Paul Feinbaum Show, where the first caller literally said that his dog couldn't eat all day. By the way, what was this dog's name? Saban, of course. I don't imagine he has a cat named Kiffin sitting around there. And of course, our old friend Phyllis from Mulga called in. And when Paul Feinbaum asked what the next 8 months would be like for Phyllis, she replied, "It's gonna be 8 months of hell." I can see that from Phyllis in Mulga, Alabama. But I'll tell you what, listening to that Paul Feinbaum show during college football season, very entertaining and very informative sometimes too. But what do they talk about for the next 8 months on that show? They sure don't talk about a whole lot of college basketball, and they certainly don't talk about professional sports on that show. It's all college rivalries. It's all SEC college football all the time. I would like to see a readout of Feinbaum's ratings during college football season and after college football season, because that show is unlistenable between the months of April and June. That's got to be like 3 months of hell for that show. That's why I can't listen to it anymore. I'll see Feinbaum again next August, when Nick Saban is berating him at SEC Media Days. That's when you know football season's back.
I don't know how else I can say it, guys. I've said it three different occasions. Well, then I guess I have to say it. I'm not going to be the Alabama coach. I think I've said this over and over and over again.
I can't tell you how pleased and honored I am to be your coach at the University of Alabama.
But speaking of the SEC, people are now coming out and saying, ooh, the ACC is better. 2014 national champion, Florida State. Clemson, 2016 national champion and 2015 runner-up. And the ACC this year was 10-4 overall versus the SEC, whereas all the other Power 5 conferences were 9-31 versus the SEC. So obviously, the ACC, who went 9-3 in bowl games this year, it's the superior conference. Oh, really? You think so, huh? Yes, the ACC does have Clemson and Florida State. And recently, they have Louisville. But there's a lot of Wake Forest, NC State, Boston College, Syracuse mediocrity in there too. And you can make that cry about the SEC as well, but who has the contract with CBS for Saturday afternoon football? Who has their own network that you can actually find on your local cable system? ACC has a network, but it's somewhere nobody can find it unless you get on your computer and have the right password. Now, if you want to talk basketball, absolutely the ACC is a billion times better than the SEC. But in football, don't even bother.
You know, upsets do happen, really.
Yeah, like I was going to ask you about Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford.
Stick to football, Brent. Come on, let's go.
One thing Clemson did do was piss off a lot of bookmakers out in Las Vegas. And the head of the MGM Grand Sportsbook said the loss was as bad as humanly possible. And some of the major sports books out there, out in the desert, took a quote-unquote high six-figure loss on the game, because everybody was on Clemson, apparently. High six-figure loss. That could mean anything short of $1 million, right? But rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, if you're planning a trip out to the desert to Las Vegas anytime soon, I want to comfort you in saying, somehow, some way, those sports books managed to open their doors the day after the national championship game. I don't know how, because Vegas lost so much money, they obviously will probably have to shut down the city, right? Yeah, that'll never happen.
I mean, when you buy a stock, what are you buying? Do you know the day-to-day operations of your stock? Do you know the people that are working at that company every day? Do you know their background? When you buy stock on the LA Lakers, you know the coach, you know the five players, you know the injury, and you know the opposing team that they're playing. Why would you bet the stock market?
One thing the national championship game did suffer was a ratings decline yet again. And people bring up the reasoning, well, it's only on ESPN, it's not on ABC. Here's my question. If it was such a great ratings grabber, why wouldn't they put this game on ABC and cancel The Bachelor for a night? Oh no, we can't cancel The Bachelor. That's our biggest moneymaker. We've got to put the football game on ESPN. And in the last 2 years, you've had Alabama and Clemson, two completely southern fried teams. If you're a fan of anybody in the Pac-12, if you're a USC fan, are you watching this game with excitement? No, you're probably not. If you're a Big Ten fan, are you watching this game? No, you're probably not. Whereas SEC fans in football will watch football no matter who's playing. But then again, how do you really measure ratings anymore? How many people were at bars watching these games? How many people were out watching these games? How many people were watching these games on their computer, on their phones? Can you truly measure those now? Gone are the days when people had the Nielsen boxes back in the day. That's why ratings are pretty much a joke now.
ESPN is the worldwide leader in sports. They're also the worldwide leader in airing the same show 15 times a day.
Jim Harbaugh was interviewed at the Michigan basketball game last night, and they asked him, did he watch the national championship game? And he said, no, he TiVo'd it. TiVo. Do those things still exist? Why don't you just go back and say that you're going to download stuff on your iPod while you're at it? Hey, do you still have your America Online buddy list going? Are you going to watch wrestling tonight? Hollywood Hogan and the NWO? What year is this anyway? Only with Harbaugh living in the past. Oh, I remember when TiVo came out. It was revolutionary. Now anybody who has cable TV has something called a DVR. Thanks a lot, Harbaugh.
Okay, the answer, they out here saying the new iPhone wants your thumbprint for your protection. Oh, okay then, duh. Well,
what is, I don't think so. That's how they get you.
Yes!
Dan Mullen of Mississippi State was quoted yesterday as saying that he's intrigued by the NFL and would like to coach in the NFL one day. Here's the catch, Coach Mullen. First of all, you have to win at Mississippi State first, because I don't think many NFL teams are going to be interested in having a coach that actually lost to Kentucky this year. Second of all, your main success at Mississippi State was when you had Dak Prescott at quarterback. That's when you were ranked number one in the country. So go ahead, Coach Mullen. Go to one of these NFL teams that has a lousy quarterback. See what you can do with them. Because you had Dak Prescott, who's proven his wares in the NFL now, and you couldn't even win in the SEC with him. And by the way, what happened to you this year without Dak Prescott? Oh yeah, 5-7. Good luck.
Who's your favorite sportscaster?
Without a doubt, Bob Costas.
I don't know if you know this about Bob, you probably do, that in his off time, he dresses in drag.
Did not know that.
Bob is a drag queen.
NFL, divisional playoff weekend right around the corner. Pittsburgh Steelers' Ben Roethlisberger claims he's going to be 100% for the game this weekend against Kansas City, but his running back, Le'Veon Bell, might need a little bit of an attitude adjustment because he came out yesterday and says, I'm changing the game. I'm what Steph Curry is to basketball. Really? Didn't you miss a few games being suspended on drugs earlier this year? Judging by that statement, they need to test you again, sir.
Smoke weed every day.
Falcons and Seahawks will play in the Georgia Dome and potentially the last game ever in the Georgia Dome this weekend. Russell Wilson's new bride, Ciara, was once engaged to a rapper named Future. And the Atlanta DJ, I didn't know there was a DJ at the game, but the Atlanta DJ at the Georgia Dome claimed that he was going to play nothing but Future rap songs before the game to try to get in Russell Wilson's head. Normally, for my money, a very good tactic. But Falcons coach Mike Quinn put the kibosh on that one very quickly, saying there will be no Future songs at the Georgia Dome. So anybody hoping that Russell Wilson would get pissed off and play better against Atlanta merely because his wife's ex-fiance would have his music playing before the game, you're all disappointed. But then again, the Seattle Seahawks are not always exactly the masters of logic. Michael Bennett, who last week claimed that Zach Zenner of Detroit was the best white running back in the NFL, that we talked about in depth on this show, was asked if he enjoyed facing the best offenses in the NFL as a defensive player. And as only a player for the Seahawks can say, Michael Bennett said, no, we prefer to play terrible teams because it makes the games easier to win. Wow, that's hard-hitting analysis right there. Who's the fool that asked him this question anyway?
Personal foul.
I'll pick this up.
On number 99 of the defense. After he tackled the quarterback, he's giving them business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
The Packers will play Dallas this weekend in Dallas. Thankfully for Green Bay, they will escape the snow of Wisconsin. But Aaron Rodgers was shown yesterday shoveling his own snow. And when asked, he goes, I always shovel my own snow. Now, people close to him will probably say it's because he's so cheap that he's not going to pay some kid $20 to do it, but that's a real man right there. An NFL quarterback who shovels his own snow in Green Bay. Most Packer fans will not be traveling to Dallas for the game, which means they have to watch it on television. And Green Bay, so sick of the Fox announcers, have now started a petition to get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman kicked off of this weekend's game and get any other announcers put in. A petition, huh? Has a petition ever really worked? Hey, if I get 1,000 signatures, something will happen. No, it won't. Why don't you just send a letter? Why don't you just send a letter to Santa while you're at it? Those always work too, right?
Getting a job as a sportscaster is hard, unless your dad was Jack Buck.
Ah, good news. If you're going to the Super Bowl this year, Johnny Manziel will be there, and he'll be selling his autographed pictures for $99 each. What does this tell me? He's about to run out of money from partying so much. And it only took a couple of years. 4 years ago, this kid was a Heisman Trophy winner. 3 years ago, he was drafted into the NFL. And now he's already in his mid-20s, relegated to selling autographs to try to keep himself afloat because all his money's gone. Just a matter of time before that gravy train runs out for Johnny Manziel. But if you want to give him $100, just go to the Super Bowl and get a picture with him. Good times for Johnny Football.
Yes?
Yeah, I'm registered in this class.
What class?
This is U.S. history. See the globe right there.
Really?
Hey.
NBA! DeMarcus Cousins has gone bat bleep crazy. Last night, he got into an argument with his teammate Darren Collison, and then after the game, said he was going to accept the Kings' offer of the max contract for $207 million. This from a guy who has begged for years now to be traded out of Sacramento, a team with literally no chance of being competitive in the NBA today or anytime soon. And especially anytime soon if DeMarcus Cousins takes all that money, killing their chances with free agents that they didn't have in the first place, because they have no chance. If you're a top level free agent, where are you going to go? Of all your options, the dead last team on that list is Sacramento, with no money under the salary cap, and head case DeMarcus Cousins, who also last night is begging for all-star votes. I guess he needs an extra incentive, whatever that brings him in his contract, and swore that if he got voted for the all-star team, that he would release an R&B CD or album or whatever they call them these days. So please, fans of train wrecks out there, vote for DeMarcus Cousins so we can hear him sing R&B songs, so we can insult him some more. The first song title, Bullfighter Defense, because that dude plays a lot of defense with a red cape just saying ole all night long.
He's always like that. He's always telling fibs, lying. Wait, when do you ever tell the truth?
You're a good-looking guy.
What?
Lied again, didn't I?
Derrick Rose is back with the Knicks. He was fined only. Why wasn't he suspended? I don't understand this. Anybody else, most people would have been suspended for a long time. This kid just gets a fine, no problem. And it comes out today that he was debating walking away from the Knicks and basketball altogether. And then he figured out, oh, I got to make as much money as I can, so I better stick out this contract. Yeah, the Knicks are going nowhere, and so is Derrick Rose. So much for that super team he proclaimed back in the summer last year. Those days are long gone.
If you're going to be a dirty program, you better be good at it. You better understand that the group handling the dirtiness has to be small, and it has to be committed, and it doesn't go out and chirp at bars.
Atlanta Hawks general manager Wes Wilcox received undisclosed discipline for his derogatory comments last week, in which he called black women argumentative because he's married to a black woman, and apparently all his family does, and apparently all they do and their three children do is argue all the time. Undisclosed discipline, huh? What was that, a slap on the wrist? Did he have to walk through the tickle line? Was he forced to do shots at the local bar? Undisclosed discipline. That's the best kind of discipline, because nobody ever finds out about it, because more often than not, there is no discipline when it's undisclosed discipline. The Atlanta Hawks, for my entire time in Atlanta, 20 plus years, had to be among the top three worst run organizations in all of professional sports. Dysfunction from the top all the way down. So when I hear undisclosed discipline, you know what I hear? Just leave us alone and hope to God this goes away, because we've already had way too much negative publicity regarding ownership and this front office. Because the last general manager was also fired for racially insensitive comments.
Okay, the answer there. They out here saying that every vote counts. Oh, Doug again.
What is, come on, they already decided who wins even before it happens.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, and good news for Rajon Rondo fans. 2 nights ago was his bobblehead night, in which he did not even get to see the floor. But last night, with Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade out of the game, Rondo got 27 minutes, had 12 points and 6 assists, and the Bulls lost by 2 points at Washington. After the game, reporters asked Rondo how he felt about finally playing again, and if he had actually talked to his coach Fred Hoiberg about his benching for the last couple of weeks. And Rondo said, "I've never talked to the coach about that BS." He actually said BS. He didn't say the initials. But it's good to actually find that Rajon Rondo hasn't changed his stripes whatsoever. Oh, by the way, he was 0 for 3 from three-point land last night. It's good to see some things never change. It's hard to imagine this kid is only 30 years old. It seems like he's been around a lot longer than that.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash. Cold. That's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it's Mac Daddy Stogie time. We went 4-0 last night, 3-0 with our upset specials, 1-0 with our against the number picks. And as always, you can find these picks archived on our website, bottomlinelexington.podbean.com. Let's look at tonight's action. We like two games against the number tonight. Number 11, North Carolina facing Wake Forest. North Carolina, a 9-point favorite. North Carolina coming off a game in which they beat North Carolina State by 51 points. It's good to see North Carolina State show up for that game. They had just defeated a ranked team at home on Wednesday night, and then they go to North Carolina on Sunday and got blown out of the water. Wake Forest sitting at 10-6 right now, 1-3 in the ACC, but those three losses in the ACC have come against tournament teams. Florida State, who we saw last night, Virginia, and Clemson. All three of those teams are going to make the NCAA tournament. They've defeated one Power 5 team this year, and that's LSU. And of course, we always have to mention this, the coach of Wake Forest is Danny Manning, the master of all underdogs from his 1988 run with Kansas to the national title. The underdog in this game, last 10 meetings, 7-3 against the spread, and already this morning, 73% of the public money is on North Carolina to cover this spread. You know what that means. We'll take Wake Forest getting 9 against North Carolina tonight. Game number 2. This is a non-Power 5 special right here. Number 12, Butler, travels to number 8, Creighton. Creighton, a 4.5-point favorite. Both these teams outstanding against the spread so far this year. Butler has defeated Cincinnati and Indiana this year. Creighton has actually defeated Wisconsin this year. 77% of the early money is on Creighton, the home favorite. But I look at common opponents, especially in the last week. A couple of weeks ago, Creighton played Villanova in Creighton, and they lost by 10. Last week, Butler played Villanova. Butler won by 8. Advantage Butler. For my money, Butler's a better team than Creighton. Yes, Creighton is ranked higher. They have home court advantage. But if you're going to give me 4.5 points, I'll take the better team. And the better team is Butler. Give me Butler and the points tonight against Creighton. And now to our upset specials. Tonight, number 24, Minnesota, travels to unranked Michigan State. Minnesota, 15-2, 10-5 against the number out Las Vegas. Minnesota's biggest win this year easily, that road game against Purdue, in which they won in overtime. Michigan State, lousy this year, when you compare them to their expectations before the year. And over the weekend, they lost at Penn State by 9 points. This team against the Las Vegas number this year, 8-8. But these two teams played on December 27th at Minnesota, and Michigan State won that game. Now Minnesota returning the favor, traveling to East Lansing. Michigan State, the home team, they've already defeated this team once, and they have, instead of playing a ranked team and after a humiliating loss at Penn State over the weekend. So we'll take old Sparty to take down Minnesota tonight in an upset special. Michigan State over number 24, Minnesota. On Thursday night, number 20, Notre Dame, travels to unranked Miami. Notre Dame, always a strong offensive team this year, no exception. 14-2 overall, 3-0 in the conference, but only one road game so far this year, and that was an overtime win at Pittsburgh. Whereas Miami, lousy against the spread so far this year, 3-9. But last year, Miami beat Notre Dame twice during the regular season. Miami's still sitting at 11-3. They've won 7 of their last 8. And at home, Miami is 8-0 so far this year. We'll take the Hurricanes to upset number 20, Notre Dame, tomorrow night. In our last upset special, Thursday night, number 25, USC, travels to Utah. USC started out on fire this year. Why did they start out on fire? They played a ton of cupcakes. This team is 15-2, but 2-2 in the Pac-12. Their last eight games against the number, they're 1-7 in those games. On the road this year, USC, a completely different animal. Why? Because they haven't played many people on the road other than Oregon and Oregon State. Oregon State is a lousy team, but they lost at Oregon last week by 23 points on the road. Whereas Utah, getting this team at home, always a very good home team with a big home court advantage. 8-1 at home is Utah. And last year, don't forget, Utah beat USC not once but twice, both at home and in Los Angeles. Utah 9-2 in their last 11 Pac-12 games against the spread. Utah already 2-1 in the Pac-12, 11-4 overall. And for our money, USC, a complete fraud. We'll take Utah to win this game big over USC on Thursday night. So you're against the number plays for Wednesday night. Butler getting 4.5 at Creighton. Wake getting 9 against North Carolina. And your upset specials for the next couple of nights. Unranked Michigan State over number 24 Minnesota. Unranked Miami over number 20 Notre Dame. And unranked Utah over number 25 USC. Your Mac Daddy Stogies for Wednesday and Thursday. And you can take those to the desert and smoke them.
All right, Brandon, 0-3 last week. You're 2-4 since we started off. If you had bet the games that you said, you would be living in a refrigerator box at the Cahuenga Pull-Off.
And that does it for the Wednesday, January 11th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email anytime, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. And make sure to like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.